Grab your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians, chapter 6. Peace. I want to talk to you today about peace. But in the context of war, in the context of battle, let's talk about peace. In fact, I want to make sure you get the gravity once again of the series and what we're talking about. I'm talking about taking your stand, standing up for righteousness and standing up for the Word of God. And if there's ever a time for the church to take a stand, it's right here, right now. And so let's go all the way to verse 10, chapter 6, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, and let's read this together. Follow along. So finally, be strong in the Lord. Oh, I got to stop. Finally, first three chapters of the book of Ephesians really deal with what's going on the inside, who you are in Christ. And then the next three chapters really have to do a lot with this is how you take what's on the inside and you live it out on the outside. And so here's the Apostle Paul sharing this letter, this book to the Ephesians, this letter, and he's saying, finally, we've talked about all that stuff. Now finally, listen, finally, be strong in the Lord. My parting words to you are this: be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Stop for just a second. If you're new to Jesus, you're new, you've recently put your faith in Christ, maybe this is just kind of like out there, but I just want you to understand there is a spirit world, and there are things that we can't even see that are happening in this room right now. The enemy wants to do everything he can to distract you from allowing faith to come up in your heart and belief in the Word of God. He wants to do everything he can to make you think that everything I'm saying today from the Bible is not true. But then there's also God is here. The Holy Spirit is here, and he's enlightening you. He's opening up your heart, your ears to hear the Word of God today. You know, we've talked about this almost every week. The devil, the enemy has come to steal, kill, and destroy. He's come to take you out, to take out your life, to take out your future, to cause you to do dumb things, sin that would destroy you. There is a spiritual battle going on. But here's the good news. We don't have to just sit back and say, well, I hope I make it. Hope I get through. Look, let's keep reading. Verse 13, therefore, how can I combat this? How can I come against this? How can I stand? Put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes today, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. There is a battle. Let's put this in context. Remember, it seems like as you study scripture and you study biblical history that at this time the Apostle Paul was in prison in Rome. Why was he in prison? For doing one thing and one thing alone, preaching the gospel. He hadn't committed a crime, he hadn't done anything. He was in prison because they didn't like him. And so I don't know about you, but the last time you were in prison, what did you feel like doing? Now, I know some of your stories, and I know I say that kind of joking, but I know that some of you have actually spent time in there because of past, and praise God that the Lord's delivered you and set you free, and you've got a testimony. Praise the Lord for that. But listen to me today. If I was sitting in prison for a sin of sharing the gospel, I'm not sure I'd be sitting there thinking, I wonder if I could write a Bible study. I mean, the longest I've been confined is probably last November, when I was so concerned to not get COVID to the rest of the family, and I caught it in November, so I lived in the basement for over 10 days. Now, we have a walkout basement, so I had some outdoors I could go and take part in, whatever. But that was the longest 10 days plus of my life. I don't know if you were there as well, maybe sometime over the past year, but I can tell you the last thing I was thinking in the midst of my COVID time was this. I'm thinking I might write a Bible study. I'm thinking about other people right now. I have no thoughts about myself. No thoughts at all. Of course, I mean, but that just kind of gives you the context. This is where the Apostle Paul, and the Holy Spirit begins to move on him, and he begins to look at the perhaps even the soldiers that are guarding him, that are walking through the prison around him, and he says, and God begins to give him this vision, this idea of, you know what, guys, it's kind of like this. Put on the full, wear, put on that belt of truth. Remember we talked about this several weeks ago? The belt of truth, truth, Jesus. Everything, truth has to be at the core of everything. If you don't put the belt of truth on, all the rest of the armor isn't gonna work right. Because if you don't put the belt of truth, truth, Jesus, he is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus, if you don't put Jesus on first, and if he's not at the foundation of your life, then you're gonna try to do the breastplate of righteousness. You're gonna try to be righteous in yourself. You're gonna try to live righteously and do the best you can and hope you make it. But we know this, as we studied last week, when you put on that breastplate of righteousness, what is it? We stand right now, right here. We are standing right before God. The big word is this, justification. When we put on that belt and Jesus is at our core and Jesus is the one holding us all together, we know this. It's just as if I never sinned. We are justified, justified. And that's what we talked about last week. We talked about positional, our position before Christ is we are justified. There's also practical application to that. There's practical righteousness, meaning I'm going to allow God to renew my mind, and I'm going to make decisions that line up with his word more and more and more the older I get, because the older I get, the more I should become more like Jesus. That's why we have so many people that are so much like Jesus here. All you gray hair people like me, I mean, I got no hair, but if I had hair, it would be gray. But that's the deal. The longer I live, the more like Jesus we all should be like, right? And that's the goal. We're growing in our righteousness. But the base, at the core, put on your girdle. Put on your girdle. Put on that belt. That belt. Cinch up your loins, right? Gird up your loins. And this is your loins, your lower back. And the Bible, the King James says that, doesn't it? The King Jimmy version. I saw someone social media this week. I don't even know who it was. I hope it wasn't any of you. It was like, well, bless God. I grew up with the King James, and that's the only authorized Bible I'd ever read. If you like the King James, go for it. But the King James wasn't the original language. The original language was Greek and Hebrew, and the King James was actually taken from the Greek and Hebrew, and that's the same thing with ESV, NIV, whatever. But the King James version says this, gird up your loins, cinch up that girdle, that belt, so you can stand. Why would you gird up your lower back? You put strength back there by tightening up your belt, the belt of truth, Jesus, so that you can take your stand. Talked about the breastplate of righteousness. Now today I want to talk about verse 15. And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. And how interesting, I just got to throw one more thing out. As I was studying this week, it popped on in my mind. Jesus, he went from a very peaceful place. How many would agree that everything we read about heaven, it's a pretty peaceful place. It's a glorious place. We long for heaven, to be there with Christ, with those who have gone on before us. We long for that. He left that. And he entered the war zone, am I right? I mean, read about, do you remember our study of the book of Luke? Everywhere he turns, someone's coming against him. There's even demonized and demon-possessed people coming against him. I mean, we can think about Jesus as a hippie with long hair and a big nose and walking around just carrying around lambs and just being, and there was a part of that, patting little kids on the head and giving kisses. I'm sure that was all part of it. But let's think of him as a great warrior. A warrior going into the dark places and declaring Jesus himself as the Messiah, declaring that God is real, declaring truth, his kingdom advancing. And so what we're talking about here, the warfare that we as believers are in, it's nothing new. It's been there since the beginning, and Jesus made it, and I got good news, so will you. How can we prepare ourselves on this side for the battle. Because if you haven't, if you're not in a battle right now, pretty soon you will be. If you're not in a battle right now, pretty soon you will be. There'll be something that will happen and you'll just go, man, this is just out of nowhere. Have you ever been at work? And you're just like, I don't know what I ever did to annoy that person. They just, it's like, I'm like, why do they, I don't remember if I ever said anything. And maybe you even said, you know, I'm sorry if I've ever offended you. Have I said something? Or maybe it's someone at school that just, for whatever reason, maybe it's a professor in college, just whatever reason, you say, you know, there are times when the enemy will use others like that. And there's just no rhyme or reason. There's no rhyme or reason why that person comes against you. There's no rhyme or reason why there's such a health crisis right now. Where is this coming from? There's no rhyme or reason why there's such turmoil right now in your family, whatever. You just need to stand. It's an attack from the enemy. We need to recognize it as that. Because if we're not careful, the enemy will use that to destroy your marriage. And instead of turning on him, you'll start turning on each other. Am I right? Instead of, as you're in church, in a church like this, there's always going to be people that disagree. Now, can we disagree and still love each other? Can we disagree on certain, there's certain things we got to agree on. Am I right? I mean, Jesus is Lord. He's the way, the truth, and the life. The word of God is truth. I mean, there's certain things doctrinally that we got to be on the same page. And if you're not, you're welcome to attend here. But I'm just telling you, that's where we're all going. But there's other things, like almost everything to do with this whole COVID thing. I mean, one of the most frustrating things to me is to watch how it's turned families against each other. It's turned church members against each other. I mean, it's just kind of it's raised up all kinds of, you know, that's the enemy right there. Let's just recognize it. And the enemy isn't in Indianapolis, not in the state house, not in the governor's house. The enemy isn't even a county commissioner or a health officer. That's not the enemy. Listen to me. The enemy is the devil. This sickness, this disease of COVID-19, that's what we need to pray against. That's what we need to take our stand against. And we need to recognize that. I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but I want to make sure you recognize there is a battle. How can we defeat this? Because if we're not careful, and if we don't discern and recognize the battle, we're going to start turning on each other instead of turning on the one who we need to turn against, right? Okay, so that's established. What does it say? Get your feet fitted, right? Get your feet fitted. And with your feet fitted, this makes me think of Montgomery Ward's. Doesn't it make you think of Montgomery Ward's? For some of you younger folks, let me just tell you, there used to be this place called the Concord Mall. And it was a happening place. Oh, it's still there, but it's more a walking area for those of us who are older. And one day I will do that. I'm not making fun. I'm like, I need an indoor place to walk. I'll go there. Jeremy, you'll join me. We might pack heat, but I've heard some rumors about what happens at the Concord Mall. But listen, Jeremy will be my bodyguard. Matt will be close behind. How's that sound? But I'd go to the Concord Mall as I was a little kid, and I remember going to Montgomery Ward's, and the shoe salesman comes out with his toupee, and it always seemed like shoe salesmen had toupees. I don't know. And he'd come out there, and what would he do? He'd get that metal thing, you know, and you put your heel in the back, and you'd move the one little piece, and when he wasn't looking, you tried to move it. So, no, my feet are bigger than that. You know, I don't know why. As a little kid, I was like, I want big feet, you know. But you just kind of move it, and he'd say, oh, you're a size 8, young man. Oh, thank you. Yes, that matches my age. Or what I mean, I remember that. As I read the word fitted, I think of Montgomery Ward's. I think of fit. And I just want to tell you right now, that's not the idea. The idea really is this. Put them on. Fit your feet. Put the shoes on. Get ready. Be ready. That's the idea. It's less about make sure your shoes fit. It's more about put the thing on. Get fitted. A soldier wore special shoes, sandals or military shoes that protected his feet without slowing him down. That's what he needed. He needed something that he could run in, he could stand in. In fact, the heels of the shoes they would wear would actually have spikes. so that they could dig in and stand their ground. They would lace up around their ankles and even up into their calves. And I'm sure some of you have seen some of the Roman armor and what it looks like. And maybe you've even wore some at one point, I don't know. But here's the deal. Put those things on, be ready. As I was studying this week, I just thought, where else are sandals like this mentioned? And it was interesting, both times that I could think of were both times where the idea was readiness. You go all the way back to the book of Exodus, at the Passover. When they were celebrating the Passover, the Jews in Exodus chapter 12, verse 11, remember this. Now you shall eat it in this manner, with your loins girded, we've been talking about that one, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. You shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover, meaning I'm getting ready to do something here. I'm getting ready to bring you out. I'm getting ready to deliver you. You're in the midst of battle here. Do you understand this? Put your sandals on. Keep them on. No flip-flops, no bare feet. Put your sandals on because it's go time. And that's the heart of what we're reading here for the Apostle Paul. He's saying, it's go time. The moment you signed up for a follower of Christ, the moment you in your heart, you surrendered your life to Christ, you gave your life to Christ, means it's go time. It's time to take your stand against the enemy. And says, here it is. Put on your shoes. Another place was when the disciples were going out. And he was sending them out. And what did he say? He said something about tunics. These were instructions. Mark chapter 6. Take nothing for the journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra tunic. Why not a tunic? That's a whole nother message. Not an extra tunic. But he said, wear your sandals. What's the idea again? Wear your sandals. Put those puppies on. Be prepared. Be ready. So fit your feet with those sandals. Put those things on. You put these things on. These are something that you just, you know, there's times when I just pray these things on me. I say, Lord, I pray on the belt of truth. And I thank you that my foundation is not in Scott Miller. And I got a good name, Miller. Good, strong Amish name, that's right. Vibish Du, I mean. Simley Coot, Dumo Fats. And I got a good, strong Miller name. But I'm telling you, when I'm in the midst of a spiritual war, I'm not standing in the name of Miller. I'm standing in the name of Jesus Christ, my Redeemer, the one in whom all power and authority has been placed. Amen? Amen. That's where I'm standing. I'm standing in him. I put on that breastplate. Lord, I pray that, thank you that I stand secure in you, my salvation, my breastplate of righteousness. But Lord, today help me to continue to grow in my righteousness. I pray through that. Lord, I put on these feet. I fit my feet with the gospel. Oh, we're getting ahead of ourselves. Fit your feet with what? Let's move on. The readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. What does that mean? Well, if you've ever read that and you're kind of like, I get all the other ones, the other pieces, but this one's just, what? Hey, every commentary I looked at said one of two things. As I studied this week, even the commentators, people that are studying the Greek, the original languages, they are struggling with what exactly is this saying? Let me just toss out the two main thoughts. The one main thought is this. In fact, in your notes, in the seats behind you, or if you go online to our website, if you're watching online, by the way, we're glad you are. Welcome. Fill this in, will you? Number one, my feet are made ready because of the gospel of peace. My feet are ready. My sandals are, I'm ready. It's go time because of the gospel of peace, the word of God. When I think about the gospel, in fact, whenever the apostle Paul uses the word gospel, most all the time in his writings, he's talking about what? He's talking about Jesus Christ, who lived, died, and rose again. and let's just add, is coming back. Whenever the Apostle Paul talks about the gospel, typically that's his thought, his idea. And so my feet are made ready because of the gospel of peace. This message of Jesus, my Redeemer, my Savior, brings me peace. And that's why Philippians 4:7, I can live. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in who? Christ Jesus. I can stand firm with peace, even in hand-to-hand combat, because I know that I'm doing right. I'm on the winning side. And this refers to the ability to no matter what I'm facing. Here's a good question. How can I have peace in the middle of the storm? How can I have peace if one of your children's running from God and your heart is so broken? How can I have peace when I know what I dream about in my marriage, but it's just not happening? How can I have peace when what I thought was going to happen in my future, what I thought with my career, what I thought with my job, and where I thought I'd be at this point in my life? How can I have peace when I was like, I'm not there? I just all worked up. How can I have peace in the midst of a battle when the enemy is coming against me, when I feel like every direction I turn, there's something there? How can I have peace? What scripture here is saying, you can have peace because of Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ. Through the gospel of peace. It is a gospel of peace. God has created you to rest in him. Rest in the fact that he took it to the cross. He nailed your sin to the cross. It's no more. You're justified. You're forgiven. And that same resurrection power, the Apostle Paul says, that same resurrection power that raised Christ from the dead is available to you today. If you need peace, trust him for it. There is peace in Christ. There's this firmness with that I can stand in because of the gospel that I know is truth. The NEB version says it this way: let the shoes on your feet be the gospel of peace, to give you a firm footing. It's out of the confidence in the gospel that I can have peace in the midst of the storm. You see how important it is that we put that belt on first? That at the foundation of everything is Jesus. Because even the very peace that I have on my feet, it's through Jesus Christ and what he did for me. John 14:27, we can live out this scripture. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give it to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Have you ever seen those pictures of those places on the ocean? Maybe you've been there. I've yet to go there, but it's like somewhere, I don't know, Key West, never been there, but somewhere where you just go out and like the ocean like comes right up to your living room, and you see there's like a slide going from the upstairs out into the ocean, and people are swimming with the dolphins, and you're just like, oh, cute little dolphins. And I mean, it's just like the most glorious piece. You just like, man, if I live there, if I could just go there for a week, I'd have so much peace. Well, you may relax a bit, but I'm telling you, you're going to come right back to life, right? That's the thing about vacations. They're great, but then you come back and you get right back into it. It's like, it's got to be a lifestyle. It's not I'm just going to have peace for a week or two when I'm in Elkhart County, South Sarasota. I'm going to have peace throughout my life. No matter if all baloney is breaking loose and the kids and the dog got sick and the this is happening and that's happening, the car broke down, and no matter what stage of life, because Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus died for it. We can have peace through him. There is a peace. And we can stand then, Romans 8:31. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? Romans 8:37. Know in all these things, what's the truth? We are more than conquerors. We're not just conquerors. We're more than conquerors through him. Through him. It's through him. I have a strong constitution, Scott. I'm a really strong personality. I'm not easily pushed around. Listen, the quicker you you bend the knee to Christ, the quicker you humble yourself before Christ, the quicker he can give you this peace. The longer you hold on to that man pride or the pride of life, whatever it may be, the longer you allow pride to, that I can handle this, you know, I'm good enough, I'm strong enough, and doggone it, people like me, you know, the longer you hold on to that, the longer it takes for God to really accomplish his purposes in your life. Would you humble yourself before a mighty God? And understand, I can. It's in him. It's through the gospel. It's through Christ, him who loved us. Verse 38, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else on all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The gospel of peace allows us to dig in. Now let's go to the second thing there. What's the other thing? Others would say this, interpret this passage of scripture this way. Number two, my feet are made ready to bring people to the gospel of peace. My feet are made ready to bring people. I'm going to dig my feet in so that I can take the gospel into the dark places. You say, Scott, where do they get that? Well, let me just talk about this. Christians are in a battle both with the inner peace of Christ that he's already given us and the desire to produce that peace in the hearts of others. You see, the enemy doesn't want us to spread the gospel. The enemy doesn't want us to take the gospel. And the enemy doesn't want us to dig in and have peace because of the gospel and take that gospel and share it to others. He doesn't want us to go out with the good news of peace, and we're invading his territory. And so the idea here is perhaps we're digging in with this gospel of peace and we're taking it into the dark places. God hasn't called you to rest when it comes to the battle. You think about David. I was thinking about David. Not David sitting in this sanctuary. Every David in the room was like, oh my gosh, he's talking about me. No, not any of you Davids. But I'm thinking about David in the Old Testament. What was he supposed to be doing when he happened to catch a glimpse of a naked Bathsheba taking a bath? He was supposed to be out fighting. He should have been out fighting. All the other men were out fighting. He should have been out there taking on the battle and involved in that, but instead he was hanging back. Let me tell you, now's not the time for any of us to hang back. Now's the time to say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And as for me and my community, as for me and my nation, as for me and my world, we're going to do everything we can to take the light into darkness. Now, Scott, how does this connect to this verse? Did you like that? Almost taekwondo there? Wax on, wax off. Yeah. They connect it to this, Isaiah chapter 52, like I said, 52. How lovely on the mountains are what? The feet of him who bring good news, who announce peace and bring good news of happiness, who announce salvation and say to Zion, your God reigns. How lovely on. It's repeated again in Romans chapter 10, verse 15. And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. There are many people that as they study this, and I see it. I see it too. I'm just kind of hitting this real quick here. But I see it. As they think that when the Apostle Paul was writing this, he had Isaiah in mind. He had this passage of scripture in mind. And so that's why they would say, hey, perhaps he wasn't just saying you are made ready and you have peace because the gospel is there and it's true and you're trusting it, but you also you're made ready to take the gospel and this gospel of peace and give it to others like those in the scripture. I think of the hymn writer who said it this way, take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee. That's our heart. God, use me. Take my feet. Take my hand. Take every part of me. Use me to take this gospel of peace. It's the idea of invading the enemy's territory with that which we've been touched, the gospel of Jesus Christ. As we go into the enemy's territory, as we take our stand, we're not just there picking a fight. We're there standing on the gospel. We're there taking the peace. Everywhere we go, we ought to be a peacemaker. Everywhere we go, we ought to just, and sometimes the most peaceful thing you can do is to confront. If you want real peace to come in someone's life, you can keep smoothing it over and trying to be a nice guy and trying to, listen, there's a good way of doing it. I mean, we don't have to do it harsh or whatever, but there are times when the most peace-filled thing you can do is say, I understand where you're at, but I'm gonna tell you, this is what the gospel would say about that. This is what the word of God says about that. And people say, well, that's not very peaceful. My goal isn't ultimately that everybody likes me. My goal is that you find peace with Jesus Christ. That ought to be your ultimate goal. There are going to be some times when you're going to say things that people, well, I thought you were, that's not very Christian-like. I read that in the headlines this week. Wasn't very Christian-like. It's not a very Christian-like thing to do. And usually those who say that are people who aren't even Christians anyhow. I mean, they're outside of the church world anyway. It's not very Christian-like. Well, why don't you come on into the church, spend some time here, and let's take a look at what real Christian-like is. The most loving thing we can do at times is to stir the pot and to step out and say, listen, I realize this is where you're at, this is where I'm at, but this is where the Word of God is, and this is where we're going to stand. And the ultimate goal is that they find peace in Christ, not that they like you, not that they like me. There can be no doubt that we should always be ready to bear witness to Jesus Christ as God's peacemaker. The Apostle Paul says it in Ephesians 2. Look on the screen, will you? Ephesians 2, verse 14. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with his commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross by which he was put to death, by which he put to death their hostility. Colossians chapter 4 hits this. Look at this, verse 5. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer everyone. So this readiness, the stabilizing factor, is the fact that Christ has set me free. I'm forgiven. The gospel is there. But there's also this idea of how beautiful it is, the feet of those who bring peace, that bring good news. And so this idea of not only standing in this and digging in because I know who I am in Christ, but even taking that and sharing it with others. Now let me just finish this message this way, because you see there's some more blanks in the notes. Here's the deal though, Scott, I understand I have peace through the gospel, but I struggle so much with anxiety. You don't know what I face at work, Scott. You don't know what I face. You don't know what I face in my marriage. You don't know what I face. You're right, I don't, but I know God does. And I know that you were not created to carry all the stress and the anxiety. I served for several years on the school board here, and one of the things, there's several things that were just so eye-opening. I really enjoyed the opportunity to serve in the community, enjoyed to be there, but one of the things that just opened my eyes that I didn't even notice was anxiety. Over and over and over again, they talked about how our students from elementary school all the way up to high school are so anxious. They're so dealing with anxiety to the point where there's medicines that they're on and there's counseling, and they're trying to figure out how can we help. And I'm sitting here thinking, from kind of an outside looking in, it's like, what have we done? I'm not blaming anyone. I'm saying, what have we done through our school systems? What's happening in our families? What are we allowing to take place in our community that so many of our students are so anxious and worked up? Have we set our standards in a place where they should? Are we pushing in ways that we need to just relax? What is it? I'm not saying I've completely figured it out. I've got a few thoughts. I'm not going to go into that today. But my heart broke. I didn't realize there wasn't even an epidemic. Before COVID-19, this was a bigger epidemic. And some of you are shaking your heads because you know, yeah, that you're talking about my kid. You're talking about my son. I'm not just talking high school. I'm talking all the way down to elementary school. The anxiousness, anxiety. This is something we've got to put a finger on and say, I want to send my kids out into the battle in peace. My prayer is that every one of my kids, when they go out, in fact, the 100-120 kids that are part of our church, it's about a third at least, if not more, of our church is 18 and under. In fact, it is more than a third. But my thought is, what if even the kids that were a part of Pathway Church were just known as, man, there's something different about those kids. There's just such a peace about them. That's my prayer. How can we lead our kids into the battle and just send them out in peace? I remember praying in the early days. I dropped kids off at school, and I'd always pray out loud, and I'd say, "And Lord, I thank you that there's not one place that they're gonna go that you're not already there." Because I wanted to remind them that he goes before us. He's there. He's there in every area. And so I would pray that, and my goal was to bring peace in their little hearts, that they would know God's there. And now I often pray the same thing about my grown children, that God, remind them there's not one place they go that you're not already there. They might not be in the back of the minivan, but I still pray it over them because I want my kids to have this peace. Okay, I've said enough. How can we have peace? You know, this first thing might be one of the biggest keys and like maybe one of the most practical steps you could take. Get used to this. Let Jesus be your shepherd. Would you write that down in your notes? How can I deal with this anxiousness, this anxiety? How can I put on those, have feet shod with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace? Get my feet fitted. You know, ultimately, I mean, in a sense, I mean, God's asked me to shepherd this flock. He's asked me and the other staff and the elders to help lead and shepherd this flock. But Jesus is the good shepherd. And let's never forget that. Can we take Psalms 23 out of the funeral service? It's a very good, very, very, very good verse and passage to use in funerals. But can we take it out of there and put it into everyday life? And what if every single day this week, just try it. This week, maybe circle this in your notes, write it on your phone, put a timer in your phone. Every day, 8 a.m., declare this over your life. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. I'm feeling really lonely right now. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. I'm feeling really angry right now. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. I'm struggling right now in the battle. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. Just declare that. Whatever it is you need, he is your supply. Rest in him. Every day, repeat this, reminding yourself that you have a good shepherd who cares for you, and let it cut down that worry and that anxiety. Second thing is this, give Jesus control over every area of your life. This is kind of a Sunday school answer, but man, let's not skip over it. Do you remember in the passage of Luke chapter 12 where it's talking about worry? Therefore, I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you'll eat, or about your body, what you'll wear. Consider the ravens. Later on, consider the lilies. That's the passage. And it says in verse 20, and do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Don't worry about it, for the pagan world runs after all these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Let's stop for just a second. The pagan world, those who aren't following Jesus, those who haven't put their faith in Christ, those who haven't dug in to the gospel of Jesus, that's pagan action. They get all worried and worked up and scared and anxious. But, and it's in that context, verse 31, but seek his kingdom and these things will be given to you as well. Put Jesus first. Seek his kingdom first. Let me just toss out wisdom. That when you love something more than God, it becomes a source of stress and anxiety in your life. Give it all to him. Give him your kids. Give him your marriage. Give him your job. The next time you find yourself getting all anxious and worked up, and it happens to us all, even this week, what a great time for anxiousness to rise up in me. Even this week, as there's things that were rising up in our family, in our life, and in the church, some opportunities, trying to pray, get discerned the voice of the Lord on this or that, and I find myself getting all worked up, and I have to stop. I say, Lord, you're my shepherd. Lord, I take this, and I make my request known to you, and I'm going to rest in you. I'm going to put you first. Whatever it is you find getting you anxious about, the moment you recognize, wait, I'm getting all worried and anxious, turn it over to the Lord and rest in him. Third thing, fill this in your notes, relax and give God your worries in prayer. So put him first, give him control over that area in your life, but also just turn it over to him. And maybe even pray and say, Lord, why am I feeling so anxious? Have you ever just been in a situation like, I don't know why I'm so worked up over this? You know what I find out sometimes? I just need more sleep. Sometimes it's not the devil at all. Sometimes my worry, my anxiousness isn't an attack from the enemy. It's just my, dare I say, stupidity. Just turn off Perry Mason, okay? That's my addiction. It comes on like at 11:30, me TV. You are watching me TV. And so I just go to sleep earlier. Get some rest. But there's other times, man, why am I feeling this? Why am I sensing this anxiety? Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart and show you it's because of this decision you made. It's because this is happening. This is coming in. Let the Holy Spirit lead you and speak to you and take that and give it to him. Okay, I'm going to cast my cares. I'm going to give all my worries. New Living Translation of 1 Peter 5:7 says it this way. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. Let me say this again. You weren't designed to carry worry. You weren't designed. You were designed by God to take your worry, acknowledge it, take your worry, and give it up to the Lord. Rest in him. Last one is this. Trust God for one day at a time. Trust God for one day at a time. Many times I had a conversation with a guy who used to work on staff with us here at Pathway, and we'd have this conversation. I'm not going to point any fingers, Jason Brooks, but we'd have a great conversation about this one. Because so many of us deal with this, but every time I think about this, I think about conversations I had with him, because there's times when we borrow worry. We're worrying about things in the future, and I'm not just picking on him. I do the same thing myself. There's things that we, it's like, why are we even worrying about it? It hasn't even happened yet. But what if it does? Well, if it does, then let's just rest that the Lord knows and just trust him. I know for some of us, it's hard for us to do this one. Others of us, it's just like, okay, God's in charge. He's bigger than me. I'll just trust him. But trust God for one day at a time. Matthew chapter 6, verse 34. Don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. You have enough on your plate today. Don't worry. Plan. Nothing wrong with planning, but don't worry. Trust God in that. Trust God for one day at a time. Look back on your notes. You still got your notes? Some of you put it away. He's like, last point, filled in the blank. It's in my Bible already. I'm not getting it back out. But let Jesus be your shepherd. Action point. Pray this. Declare this. I'm talking like every day this week. What if you did this? Every day this week. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord's taking care of me. He's got me on this. I'm trusting him in this. I'm not trying to minimize any of you here today. Hear me. Who have real, genuine issues with anxiety and anxiousness, and you've even taken meds and different things. I'm not trying to minimize that at all. I'm trying to give you some gospel truth here. If we want to be in the battle, able to dig our feet and know who we are in Christ, because of his gospel, I can dig my feet in. I can stand secure. Let's stand in the fact that he's our shepherd. Give Jesus everything. Relax, give your worries to him in prayer, and trust God for today. Just rest in him that he's going to take care of the future. Maybe there's one or two of these. In fact, worship team, would you come? Now you know he's really done, right? If there's one or two of these, maybe that you just need to put an arrow next to. One or two of these you need to circle. You see, if I just spent the past 40 minutes blabbing my mouth about the subject, and we don't change, and we don't do anything different, then it was a waste of time, right? Our goal is not just to be hearers of the word, but doers. And so today, where is it? What is it? Which one of these do you need to put into action? What do you need to put into action so that you can live this out? You can put on those feet fitted with a readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Because the battle is real, am I right? The Lord wants you to have peace. Some of you, you've lived with anxiety your whole life. You've lived not with it, with a sense and a feeling that I'm just used to it. I'm telling you, God wants to set you free. He wants there to be a breakthrough in your life. And I believe he could do it right now, just like that. or it could be a process. He might take you through a process of healing and being set free. But let's give it to him today so that when we go into battle, we're prepared and we can stand against the enemy like David. When he stood before Goliath, he said, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you with something greater and more powerful than all of that. I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." The next time you feel the enemy coming against you, you stand. You stand in the gospel. You stand, you made ready. Be at peace as you go into the battle because Jesus Christ is Lord of your life. Would you stand with me right now, speaking of standing? Come on, let's just pray for a few moments, can we?